Sebastian. It wasn't that long ago I preached on this passage, and it won't be too long before I'll do it again after today. But if you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. To me, it's one of the most intriguing scriptures and teachings of Jesus. And it's the analogy that Jesus draws for us in John 15. We have the vine, we have the husbandman, we have the branch, and the fruit. We ought to know what Jesus is saying here. Friends, if we don't know who we are, it's going to be difficult for us to be who we're supposed to be. You better find out who you are, where what your position is in Christ. John 15 and verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. I'm so glad that I set store by Jesus. I'm so happy today that I have not been fooled by the lies of the enemy or the deceit of this world. I'm thankful. Hallelujah. Jesus says this, I am. Jesus says, I am. Whenever you hear, I am, when Jesus is saying it, pay attention. He says, I am the true vine. He doesn't say a vine. He doesn't say one of the vines. He says, I am the true vine. And the implication in the Greek there is it is exclusive. There's no other true vines. There's only one true vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. When Jesus says, I am, just probably like anybody else, but when Jesus says, I am, he's about to identify himself. It's an two words that identify who you are. It's not the first time Jesus said, I am. He speaks. Listen, I don't know if you folks understand, and I think most of you do. We call him Jesus, but he's been eternally existent with the Father as the Word. And he has spoken on this earth far before Bethlehem. He spoke in this world. He spoke to Abram of old, way back in Genesis. And he tells Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Help me, Lord, not to go on off on all of these. But when God spoke to Abram, he said, listen to me. I'll be your protector, and I am your great reward. What is the great reward of serving Jesus and getting born again? Jesus himself is our reward. Hallelujah. When I married Debbie, I didn't expect a dowry. She was my reward. Just having her was enough. I didn't need anything good thing. But anyways, that's another subject. She's all the reward I needed. And he's telling Abraham, listen, I'm all you need, Abraham. I'll take care of everything. He said, I am the Lord that brought you out of the Ur of the Chaldees. I'm the one that did. Abram, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. This is the Word speaking to Abraham. He also spoke to Jacob. And he said, Jacob, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. He told Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. It's me where you've met. He tells Jacob, I am God. He's never been
The Father, Son of the Holy Ghost has never been shy about telling people who they are. The three in one. You remember the story of Moses out in the middle of the wilderness taking care of some probably thin sheep. And he sees a bush that is burning with fire, but it's not consumed. It doesn't go away. And as he approaches that, out of the fire, a voice begins to speak to him. And Moses says, well, if you're going to send me back to Egypt, who should I tell him sent me? He said, I am the I am. I am that I am. Tell him that the I am sent you. Moses understands something. I am the Lord. When God says, I am the Lord, and in a minute you're going to see he repeats himself. When he says, I am the Lord, he's saying this, I am the one with the authority. The Lord has the authority. You're talking, when you use that term Lord, you're talking about authoritative things. And when God says, I am the Lord God, and when I say I'm the Lord, it means he's in charge. To the children of Israel in the wilderness, he speaks and says, I am the Lord, your God. Not the gods of the Egyptians. Not the gods of the mixed multitudes that came with you and convinced you to make a calf out of your jewelry. He said, no, I am the Lord, your God. Years later, he speaks to the judge Gideon as he's trying to thresh some secret wheat. And he says, Gideon, I am the Lord your God. Don't fear the gods of the Amorites. I am here to tell you today that our God is the Lord God, and we do not have to fear the gods of the demons. We don't have to fear the gods of those that would try to bring us down. We don't need to fear demonic governments. We don't need to fear anybody. Why? Because our God is Lord. You don't have to worry about your carbon footprint. I was thinking about this the other day. People were talking about your carbon footprint is carbon dioxide, friends. Listen, if you're worried about the amount of carbon dioxide in the air, which is a very tiny percentage of our... I said, why don't we just grow some more trees then? Trees turn carbon dioxide into oxygen. Did you know all know that from sixth grade science? Let's grow some more trees. Now, but I know who's in charge. He's in charge of the earth and the moon and Jupiter and Saturn and all the stars that you can see at night. He's in charge of the heavens, everything that's on earth, in earth, and under earth. He's in charge of it all. He's in charge of he's in charge of your employment. He's in charge of your family. He's in charge of everything that's about you. If God is your Lord, you're going to be all right. Years later, he speaks to King David and says, be still and know that I am God. You're not God. I'm not God. He's God. Let's not get it twisted. David's son Solomon. He says, Solomon, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. To Isaiah, the great prophet Isaiah, he says, I am the Lord, the first and the last. Beside me there is no God. He tells Isaiah this repeatedly. Repeatedly he says, I am the Lord, the first and the last. Does Jesus not also use those same words? I am the Lord thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. To Jeremiah, he says this, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. The God of all Somalian flesh, the God of all Iranian flesh, the God of all Italian flesh, the God of all Russian flesh. I am God over all. To Ezekiel, he says, I am the Lord,
that which I speak, I shall perform. To Zechariah, he says, I am has returned to Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Jesus speaks of himself in the same manner in the New Testament. He says, I am the good shepherd.
The only thing I should be concerned about is, am I in his flock or not? Because if he's my shepherd, once again, it's going to be all right. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. There's no light. There's only darkness without Jesus. Am I in the right church this morning? He says, I am the door of the sheep. I get you where you need to go. To Martha, after her brother died, and Jesus was up there, he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. It's me. And I'm here. Oh, help me, Lord. He said, I am the resurrection and the life, and I'm here. Your brother's in a tomb, but I'm here, and we're going to go see him. And you're going to find out that I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And those that believe on me, they shall never suffer death. The idea that somehow you go into soul sleep after you've taken your last breath. Nonsense. It's nonsense. My Jesus said, if I'll serve him all of my days, that he will not allow me to die. I will merely get promoted. I will be rid of this little short body, and I'll go to be with him. To Thomas, who asked him a question. And Jesus looks at Thomas out of the corner of his eye and says, Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You cannot get to God the Father by keeping the law. You can't get to the Father by keeping your sideburns curled. You can't get to God by wearing a shawl. You can't get to Him by some other headgear. You can't get to Him by meditation. You can't get to Him by lighting candles. You can't get to Him by going to Mecca. You can't get to Him any other way but by Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is the only way. He's the only truth, and He's the only life. There is no truth without Him. There's no way to get through without Him, and there's no life without Him. Without Jesus, you have death, you have darkness, you have deceit, and you have a blocked way to glory. To Pilate, who asked Him, who are you? Are you the King of the Jews? And He said, what? I am. To Saul, who became Paul, he says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Why are you kicking against the bricks? To all of us, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am. I was dead, but now I live forevermore. I am he that searcheth the reins and heart. Don't worry what people think about you. Worry about what Jesus knows about you. Midnight is just like daylight to Him. He sees through everything. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So this is the same one that says, I am the true vine. He knows who He is. There is no doubt about Jesus knows who He is. Jesus is the true vine. Only henceforth, if He is the true vine, then only truth comes forth from this vine. There is no deceit in it.
There's no lie in it. There's no shade in it. Whatever comes out of the vine is true. All others are fake and false and have no life. I feel sorry for those that are caught up in some religious thing. They got no life to it. Only this vine brings life. I pray today that the Holy Spirit teaches us. Because once this whole idea gets inside of you, you will think differently about every situation in your life. Once you understand this great concept that Jesus is trying to relay to us, this great vine, the life-giving vine, nothing, listen carefully to me, you don't have to believe me, but you'd be wrong. Nothing good can be produced except it come from this vine. This wonderful vine started out in Bethlehem, his human form anyway. grew up a little bit in Egypt and then in Nazareth. And then began to, after 30 years, began to minister. I heard something interesting. I don't know if I believe it or not. It was kind of interesting, though. Why did Jesus wait till he was 30 years old to start? Somebody said they think Joseph died and he took care of his mother and supported her until he was 30 years old, until his brothers and so forth could be old enough to support her. I don't know if that's true, but I do know something that's true. Nothing good in this life comes except it comes through this great vine. You want something good in your life? You have to go to the vine, the true vine. If you go to any other source, you're going to be disappointed. This wonderful vine who allowed himself to die on the cross of Calvary, raised the third day, filled, sent the Holy Spirit on these guys that didn't know anything more than you and I. They had some experiences, but man, and it's like I cannot believe that phone is ringing. Whose phone is it? Confess. Marta. If it's an emergency, take it. If it's not, Chris, take her phone away from her. But think of this vine. I don't think we think of it quite correctly. This vine then, Acts chapter 2, began to expand and grow. And it grew all around Jerusalem and then into Israel and Samaria. It began to grow. And then this vine, after some time, hallelujah, began to grow outside the confines of Israel. And it went north and it went west and it went east and it went south. This vine today literally wraps itself around the globe. It's not a little vine. It's a really, really big vine. Hallelujah. It's available wherever you go. This vine is available to give life-sustaining sustenance to you. You can go to India and you'll find the vine there. You can go to Russia and you'll find the vine there. You can go to France and you'll find the vine there. You can go to the Sudan and you'll find the vine there. You can go to Nigeria and find the vine there. You can go to Colombia and find the vine there. You can go to Venezuela and find the vine there. You can go to Brazil and find the vine there. You can go to New Zealand and find the vine there. You can go to Australia and find the vine there. You can go to Tibet and find this great vine in Tibet. In the mountains of China, you can find this vine. Hallelujah. You can find him on the Fiji Islands. You can find this vine on the Marshall Islands. You can find this vine on the great island of Japan. And also in the Philippines. You can find this vine in Canada. It's a little harder to find, but you can find them in Canada. You can find this vine in the 50 states of America. You can find this vine in Cuba, and this vine is about to do something in Cuba. You can find this vine in Denmark and Finland, and I could go on and on. This vine has grown so great that there is not any mountain so high that you can't find the vine there. There is no abyss so low that you can't go there and find out that the vine is there. Your prodigals can't go to enough bars, because if they'll call out from the bar, the vine will come and get them. If they call out from their addiction, this vine will come and get them out of that. Hallelujah. This vine is not only big, this vine is strong. Hallelujah. This strong vine, listen to me carefully, this strong vine cannot be conquered. Governments come and go. People come and go. But the vine is still going strong. Hallelujah. They tried to burn the vine. They tried to cut it to pieces. They tried to destroy it with whatever man's means could do it. And yet, in January 2026, the great vine still stands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That vine that produces life-giving results is here today. The Father dresses the vine. That means He keeps all things that come from the vine in proper order. All other vines are false. All other vines actually lead you away from God and not to Him. What am I saying? Every other resource that you look to give you life will lead you in the wrong path. There's only one vine that will get you where you need to go. Second verse. I know what you're thinking.
How many verses is he going to do today?
Listen, preachers, I don't want you to tell me how many points you have. Surprise me. So I won't get bored between the second and the third point. When you have 4 points, then I'll pay attention. I want to know how many points you got. And I'm not going to tell you how many verses we're going to do. John 15 and verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, being the vine dresser, taketh away. And every branch, you see that word every? Every branch that beareth fruit, he, the vine dresser, purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I have a legitimate question here. How is it possible to be in this vine, Jesus, and not bear fruit? What? How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. When one is visibly connected, but has intentionally blocked the life-giving flow from the vine to the branch. This branch wants the blessing of the vine, but not the responsibility of the vine. It wants only that which will benefit the branch, but it doesn't want the burden of producing fruit. Let me say it again. That's almost brilliant. Not quite. The branch with only leaves and no fruit wants the benefits from the vine that will give strength and goodness to the branch, but it has no burden to produce fruit. And the Father sees this. And after a while, He says, all right, no more. I want to tell you, the Father is patient. How many years between the Garden of Eden and Bethlehem were there? He's patient. The Father is in charge of bringing along the branch to produce abundant fruit. And in my thinking, He uses the Holy Spirit to do His work. Verse 3. Now, somebody say now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus loves to throw these outliers in there. He's talking about the vine and the branch and the vine dresser. And then, right there, he says, and by the way, you're clean by the word that I've spoken unto you. What? I looked at 3 different commentaries. None of them know what that means. To me, it means I'm not worthy to be a branch on his vine. But Jesus sticks with his word. If I say you're clean, you are clean. Whatever in your past is bothering you, but I said, my word says I am clean, then I am clean. In our household, my dad had chores for us to do, but my mother also had chores for us to do. All us kids knew how to be a homemaker. We knew how to vacuum. We knew how to dust. My worst job ever, dusting. And I marry a woman who loves every trinket in the whole wide world. I'm not sure it would have went so well if I'd known that before. We've dusted. And I don't know if it's a boy-girl thing. I don't know. But a girl might look at a picture frame and dust all around it. A boy will come along and go, that's good. Move along. We got other things to do besides this little silly stuff. What do I care if the top of the fan has dust on it or not? I don't care. I don't see it. But the rule was, your room's not clean until mom says it's clean. You can declare it clean, but she comes in and says, no, there's underwear still on the floor. It's not clean. It was sticking out just a little bit from underneath the bed. But if my mom said your room was clean, then your room was clean. And if Jesus says you're clean, you're clean. It doesn't matter what you feel like. Your emotions don't play anything in that. If you believe in the blood of Jesus, he come in. If he says you're clean, then you're clean. Though you may be crimson, I'll make you white as snow. Hallelujah. This vine has a wonderful cleansing agent, and it's his blood. In the flow of the vine is the blood of Jesus. I firmly believe this. Verse 4. I'm going to almost done with the introduction. Abide in me. Who's speaking? Abide in me, and I in you. He is describing a relationship between the vine and the branch. And it is it's not an intra, it's an inter relationship. Where the vine produces the branch, and the branch in turn grows into the vine. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, when, Lord, are you going to reveal this truth to your people that the branch cannot, it's not, should not, would not, it cannot bear fruit of itself. You cannot produce your own fruit. Why are you trying? Why are you trying to produce your own good fruit? I will be a better man. No, you won't. I'm going on a diet tomorrow. Right after I finish this half gallon of ice cream, I'm going on that diet. You're fine as long as your diet includes the same ice cream you just ate. The branch cannot produce fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. How do I produce fruit? By abiding in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? I'll go over that in a few minutes. I am the vine. Let's not make a mistake. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Is horticulture the right word? If you understand horticulture or not. The trunk goes into the roots, and the green grass grew all around. You have the root system, comes into a trunk, and out of the trunk come the branches. And out of the branches come the twigs, and the twigs come the buds, and the buds come the blossom, and the blossom comes the... All right. There was a hole. And in this hole... All right. Dating myself there. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'll move on. Except ye abide in me, living for Jesus. A little later in the chapter, he says, this is how you know. Are you doing what I'm telling you to do? How often do we get it mixed up? He says, I am the vine, you're the branches. How many of us think that maybe the vine needs our help and that we'll be the supplier of our own needs? We'll figure this out. This thing isn't big enough to bother God with. I'll figure this out, Lord, because I'm a smart branch. I'm a strong branch. He that abideth in me, it means a branch puts all of its trust in the vine. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It doesn't say the little branch has got to work his head off. He's got to figure out a way to produce fruit. He says, abide in me. Just be in me. Let me be in you. Because you can't even walk without a hole in his hand. For without me, ye can do nothing. Isn't that a bothersome phrase? You get nothing done without him. You can produce nothing good without Jesus. The branch grows out of the vine, not the other way around. The vine produces me as a branch. The branch abiding in the vine, then, listen carefully, I'm almost done. Won't keep you long. Too much longer. Jesus, forgive me for that lie. All right. The branch abiding in the vine then becomes the conduit of whatever the vine supplies. Let me say it again. The branch abiding in the vine then becomes a conduit of whatever the vine supplies. And the product of this is fruit. Good fruit. Wonderful fruit. You remember the fig tree that Jesus cursed? How many ever, you can raise your hand, how many ever felt bad for the fig tree? Like, it's kind of harsh, Lord. Just trying to be there, hanging out, and you have to curse it because you were hungry. This fig tree had many beautiful leaves, which would indicate that the tree is healthy. Yield it yielded no figs. I said, well, the time of figs was not yet. What that means is that they had not harvested the figs yet. They had not harvested them yet. That means the figs should still be on the trees. It had yielded no figs. Hear me carefully. Though it looked good, it was not fulfilling the purpose God had created it for. It looked good. The leaves were big and healthy, but it was not fulfilling the purpose that God created that fig tree. He created the fig tree to produce figs. And He created born-again people like you and me to produce godly fruit. To try and bear fruit outside the vine is foolishness. There is no hope for you. What comes through then? What is the wonderful stuff that comes through the vine to the branch? Just about out of time, but let me tell you, I believe the blood of Jesus is in that vine, and it flows into me. Hallelujah. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I believe the Holy Ghost is in that vine. The Holy Ghost comes up and comes out of that vine and into me, and it fills me as a branch. Hallelujah. Those life-giving things flow that are passed into that branch. And the branch then allows that to flow freely all the way to the end where the blossoms are. And it goes all the way to the end where the buds form. And then ultimately, fruit is produced for the good of all. Tonight I'll talk about the fruit. This morning, come Tim, please. Sometimes you don't use those words to your children. For you and me, we need to look at ourselves today and ask this question. Am I a fruit-bearing branch? You can ask the same question a different way, and it's this. Am I abiding in Jesus? Is Jesus part and parcel of every part of my life? Whatever the spectrum of your life is, am I and He together? Is my life ordered by Him? At the top of my agenda of every day, is it whatever Jesus wants? You know, He is patient. But inspection day will come. The husbandman will make his rounds. And He's going to deal with us that only have leaves. We look like a Christian. We go to church like a Christian. We may even speak like a Christian. But there's not the fruit that God desires. I feel a little bad not going into what the fruit is, but it's, to me it's very clear what that is. Inspection day will come. And when the Father comes by this branch that is attached to the greatest vine in the world, it's my desire that He'll find fruit and not just leaves. Think of it. All the ills of the world can be solved if every one of God's branches produce fruit. Tonight, I'll go into a little bit of the pruning process. If you remember, I preached here a little while ago, and that's what I spent our time on, is the pruning process. But today, I just ask the question, are you abiding in Jesus? Am I abiding in Jesus? I never give an altar call just for the people there. I'm here in the room. This isn't my word, it's God's word. So we get to participate. The preacher, the piano player, we all get to participate. We get to ask ourselves, am I abiding in Christ? Am I in the center, not just in acceptable, but am I in the center of His will? Do I think the thoughts that He wants me to think? Do I act the way He wants me to act? Do I speak the way He desires me to speak? Am I offended or unoffended the way He wants me to be offended or unoffended? Do I love brothers and sisters in Christ as He wants me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus is never soft. In my mind, He's never been soft ever. He asks the hard questions. And He's got the good answer for the hard questions. And it's time to turn a leaf-bearing branch into a fruit-bearing branch. In these last days, we can't afford to even be a little bit fake. Not even a little bit. We cannot compromise with the devil even a little bit. We can't agree with him on anything. We've got to agree with the vine on everything. Would you stand to your feet just for a moment, please? This morning, do you need to come to this altar to meet the Lord and say, Lord, I need more than leaves. I'm not satisfied with my own production. I've tried maybe to do it on my own. I've tried to fix things on my own instead of letting you handle it. Maybe you need to recommit to abiding in Christ. Maybe there's something outside of where it should be. An altar call is never to embarrass someone. It is never to judge someone. It's never even for someone else to think why they went up. None of your business. All it is that step of faith to say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm going to let you be the vine and I'm just going to be the branch and let you produce the fruit through me. If you need to come and make some kind of commitment like that. I open these altars this morning. Don't be afraid, ashamed, or anything like that. But if you need to meet with the Lord today and make that commitment, do it and do it now. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Holy Spirit. Here I am longing for you.